Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, entitled The Process of Creation, text number 21. Yahangri Avidyana Samadhi Dautaya Hiya Anupashyanti hi tatvam apnaha vedanti cha eta kavaya yata rucham saha me mukunda bhagavan prasidatam ya angi et angi habit Dhyana Samadhi Dhautaya Dhyana Pashyanti Hitapham Atmanaha Vedanti Chaita Kavayo Yatarucham Same Mukundo Bhagavan Prasidatam Edangrabhi Dhyayana Samadhi Dhotaya Dhyana Pashyanti Hitapham Atmana Vedanti Chaita Kavayo Yatarucham Same Mukundo Bhagavan Prasidatam Yadangrapi dhyana samadhi dhyotaya Dhyana upashyanti hitapham apna Vedanti chaita kavayo yatarucham Same mukundo bhagavam prasidatam
Yeah.
Yanapashanti Tatham Atmana.
Vedanti Chaita Kavayo Tatam.
Same Kundo Bhagavanta Siddhatana.
Yangri, whose lotus feet. Abhijana, thinking of, at every second. Samadhi, trance. Dotaya, being washed off. Diya, by such clean intelligence. Anupashanti, does see by following authorities. He, certainly. Tatvam, the absolute truth. Atmanaha, of the Supreme Lord and of oneself. Vedanti, they say. Cha, also. Etat, this. Kavayaha, philosophers or learned scholars. Yatarucham, as he thinks. Saha, he. Me, mine. Mukundaha, Lord Krishna, who gives liberation. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Prasidatam, be pleased with me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. It is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who gives liberation. By thinking of His lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities, the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of Him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me. Purport. Oh, sorry. Translation responsibly. It is the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who gives liberation. By thinking of His lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities, the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of Him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me. Purport. The mystic yogis, after a strenuous effort to control the senses, may be situated in a trance of yoga just to have a vision of the supersoul within everyone. But the pure devotee, simply by remembering the Lord's lotus feet at every second, at once becomes established in real trance, because by such realization, his mind and intelligence are completely cleansed of the diseases of material enjoyment. The pure devotee thinks himself fallen into the ocean of birth and death, and incessantly prays to the Lord to lift him up. He only aspires to become a speck of transcendental dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotee, by the grace of the Lord, absolutely loses all attraction for material enjoyment, and to keep free from contamination, he always thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. King Kulashekara, a great devotee of the Lord, prayed, Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja Panjarantam Adyaiva me vishatu manasaraja hamsa prana prayana samaye kafavata pitai kantavarodana vidho smaranam kutaste. My Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of the lotus feet of your lordship and be locked in their network. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? There is an intimate relationship between the swan and the lotus stem, so the comparison is very appropriate. Without becoming a swan or paramahamsa, one cannot enter into the network of the lotus feet of the Lord. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, the mental speculators, even by dint of learned scholarship, cannot even dream of the absolute truth by speculating over it for eternity. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to such mental speculators. And because they cannot enter into the network of the stem of the lotus feet of the Lord, all mental speculators differ in conclusions And at the end, they make a useless compromise by saying, as many conclusions, as many ways, according to their own inclination, yatarucham. But the Lord is not like a shopkeeper trying to please all sorts of customers in the mental speculator exchange. The Lord is what He is, the absolute personality of Godhead, and He demands absolute surrender unto Him only. The pure devotee, however, by following the ways of previous acharyas or authorities, can see the Supreme Lord through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master, Anupashanti. The pure devotee never tries to see the Lord by mental speculation, but by following in the footsteps of the acharyas, Mahajano Yenagata Sapanta. Therefore, there is no difference of conclusions amongst the Vaishnava acharyas regarding the Lord and the devotees. Lord Chaitanya asserts that the living entity, Jiva, is eternally the servitor of the Lord, and thus he is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord. This tattva of Lord Chaitanya's is shared by all four sampradayas of the Vaishnava school, all accepting eternal servitude to the Lord even after salvation. And there is no authorized Vaishnava acharya who may think of the Lord and himself as one. This humbleness of the pure devotee, who is 100% engaged in his service, puts the devotee of the Lord in a trance by which to realize everything, because to the sincere devotee of the Lord reveals himself, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10.10. The Lord, being the Lord of intelligence in everyone, even in a non-devotee, favors his devotee with proper intelligence so that automatically the pure devotee is enlightened with the factual truth about the Lord and his different energies. The Lord is revealed not by one's speculative power, or by one's verbal jugglery over the absolute truth. Rather, he reveals himself to a devotee who is following, to a devotee who is fully satisfied by the devotee's. Rather, he reveals himself to a devotee when he is fully satisfied by the devotee's service attitude. Shukadev Goswami is not a mental speculator or compromiser of the theory of as many ways, as many conclusions. Rather, he prays to the Lord only, invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyan Jaya Shalakya Chakshur Mutam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Visham Stapatam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Taparakamlam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Saguja Tam Sahagana Raghunava Tam Samsajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Prithana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shivada Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shapam Shatam Cha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Kopesha Kopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishavanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevita Patitanam Padnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Rama Hare Hare Krishna. No winter service. So, in the previous week or two, I've been hearing Shukadev Goswami before his. Maharaj Pariksit has inquired from him about the process of creation, but we have seen that he didn't jump straight into the answer, but thinking himself to be very learned and able to reply, but first he's offering many prayers in glorification of Krishna, and as he's saying in today's verse, may the Lord be pleased with me, and then if the Lord is pleased with the devotee, then he can give the devotee can speak as an instrument of the Lord with nice intelligence given by the Lord. So, in today's purport, firstly, Prabhupada is, and in the verse as well, we're seeing a comparison between the path of the devotee, the bhakti yogi, and the path of the jnani yogi, or hatha yogi as well. So, Prabhupada says that for the mystic yogis, it's a very strenuous effort to control the senses. And with such a big endeavor, then what they get is just a vision of the super soul. So that's shantaras, just seeing that the Lord is there in the heart and I am here. Or they may not have that realization either. They may think that they are the super soul. But then they, if they have some more intelligence, they may see that the Lord and I are different. But there's no relationship. And as we say, to love is to serve. So that's how the relationship is expressed between the Lord and the devotee, that the devotee wants to render service to the Lord. But the mystic yogi, they don't have that feeling, attitude of service to the Lord. They're just happy to see the Lord there. So I think Vaishnavacharyas don't count Shantaras as one of the... They just say that there's four... Well, there is five rasas we can have with the Lord, but Vaishnavas are only interested in the other four, starting with Dasya Ras. And the devotee, by remembering the Lord's lotus feet, his mind and intelligence are completely cleansed of the diseases of material enjoyment. So this is the process for cleansing the mind. sometimes we might feel discouraged about all our contaminations, and if we learn a bit about the philosophy that the spirit soul jiva has been in the material world since time immemorial, and in every birth we're accumulating so much contamination, material contamination, of desiring to lord it over the world. So that's just accruing and accruing and accruing, lifetime after lifetime. So we can just imagine how much contamination is there in our consciousness. So this might discourage us, but here Prabhupada's saying that just by remembering the Lord's lotus feet, that the mind and intelligence are completely cleansed of the diseases of material enjoyment. So it's all, you know, that's the power of the Lord. Of course, the Lord is the controller of the material energy, so he can remove that from our consciousness if he's satisfied with the devotee's service attitude. And so the desire for material enjoyment, no one actually thinks of this as a disease, but it is, as Prabhupada explains, a disease condition. So generally people take it for granted that, yeah, you grow up and you have sex desire and you want to be with the opposite sex, and this is just how life goes. And then you have you work very, very hard for a little bit of sense enjoyment, and people don't have any conception that there's anything wrong with that, or that it's a disease condition. But the spirit soul is pure by nature, and that purity is just a attitude of, a selfless attitude of wanting to serve the Lord and have nothing for ourselves. And Prabhupada, he's referring to, he's writing here, so the pure devotee thinks himself fallen into the ocean of birth and death and incessantly prays to the Lord to lift him up. He only aspires to become a speck of transcendental dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. So which verse is he referring to there? Or which prayers is he referring to? Shikshastakam. Verse number?
Five,
yes. Ayinanda tanija kinkaram patitam vishameva vambutha kripaya itava pada pankaja stitaduli sadhuchim vichintaya. O son of Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the asams at your lotus feet. So, transcendental dust, this is different to ordinary dust. This is good dust. As Prabhupada is saying, the pure devotee, by the grace of the Lord, absolutely loses all attraction for material enjoyment. So in our present condition of always being afflicted by desires for material enjoyment, it can seem a very amazing, wonderful thing that someone could be completely free from those desires. But Prabhupada is saying here that it's by the grace of the Lord. So this is what we needed to build our faith in, is the causeless mercy of the Lord, that somehow or other he's so kind that he will protect us and maintain us, and we can not be in anxiety about our own well-being. We're gradually building our faith that Krishna will look after us, and that just by serving him, then everything basically will be okay. And as an example, Prabhupada is giving the prayer of King Kulashekra, who prayed that his mind may become entangled in the lotus, the stems of the lotus feet of Krishna. And otherwise, King Kulashekara prays, otherwise at the time of my breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? So, as Bhagavatam describes, the time of death is a very, very, very distressful condition, like being, I think it compares to being bitten by millions or thousands of scorpions. I don't think there's scorpions in Australia, so haven't seen them. I've maybe seen them in the zoo. But of course it must be very painful. So in times of distress, we need to build the habit of seeking the shelter of the Lord, and that might be through his devotees. That's the most accessible way that we can take shelter of Krishna, is through his devotees. Just when we're having some distress, we're unsure of how to proceed in our spiritual life, then we reveal our mind to the devotees and ask them for assistance and guidance. And in this way, that's how we take shelter of Krishna, because the devotees are just advising us how to come closer to Krishna. Hopefully, if they're well-situated devotees. So, so we must be in the association of devotees. If we're not in the association of devotees and we're coming into difficult times, which is going to happen all the time practically, then we'll turn to somewhere else to seek shelter. Material energy will give us some shelter. Just like, I'm not sure if you sang that song, that we've been in the lap of the Witch of Maya for so long, and if we don't stay with the devotees, then we'll just stay sleeping in the lap of Maya and be misled by material comforts, intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating. We'll just take shelter of all these things if we're not associating with devotees. And next Prabhupada is describing that without becoming a swan or a paramahamsa, one cannot enter into the network of the lotus feet of the Lord. So, paramahamsa, maybe we just kind of dismiss this. I was like, oh, I'll never be a paramahamsa. I was hearing a lecture the other day that Prabhupada is describing that his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he placed the level of the sannyas dharma, or even the four levels of sannyas up to paramahamsa. He placed this below the level of a Vaishnava, because even a sannyasi is still in the material system of vanashram dharma. And so Vaishnava is above this even. So it's a very, very elevated platform to if someone's actually a Vaishnava. So we just try to become the servant of a Vaishnava, and then we become better than a Paramahamsa practically, if we can just not even aspire to be a Vaishnava, but just a servant of a Vaishnava. And whereas, and thus we very easily approach the Lord. But as Lord Brahma says, the mental speculators and the scientists can count all the atoms in the universe, and like Sankhya Yoga, but they still can't approach the absolute truth. And we may not think that there's many jnana yogis or mental speculators in our society at the moment. They're just sort of all in India in their ashrams and everything, studying the Vedas and everything. But actually, the West also has a lot of mental speculators. They got shipped over to, the swamis and everything. They kind of tried to spread their teachings in America and other Western countries. So this it became all infiltrated into the Western culture and thinking as well, this impersonalism and mental speculation. So you talk to anyone on at your workplace or on book distribution, and you hear these ideas. In the next page, Prabhupada saying that all the mental speculators differ in conclusions, and at the end they make a useless compromise by saying as many conclusions as many ways. So you hear people say, all paths lead to the same goal, or as long as it makes you happy. So this is characteristics or symptoms of the mental speculation. So they won't accept any higher authority, but accept their own imperfect intelligence, and just accept that whatever they come up with is sufficient. is a good way to go. According to one's own inclination, yatarucham. So according to their conditioning by the material nature, then people will just come up with some philosophy and follow that, but they won't see that, how that imperfect that is, and they won't accept any authority. Prabhupada says here, but the Lord is not like a shopkeeper trying to please all sorts of customers in the mental speculator exchange. So the Lord is what he is, the absolute personality of Godhead, and he demands absolute surrender unto him only. So people take this to be what's the word, dogmatic. You know, Krishna demands absolute surrender unto him only. Very dogmatic. Can, you know, but it's the only sure path. Or if we don't surrender to Krishna, if we go according to our own inclination, then it's a very risky path. We definitely won't get out of the material world. You know, we've been in the material world for such a long time, and so we do need a very sure way to, a way that we can be sure will get us out of this entanglement. And that's surrendering to Krishna. So by following the ways of the previous acharyas, through the medium of transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master. So this is the when Lord Chaitanya was himself was instructing Sanatana Goswami to he was giving him an outline of what he should write in a book of Vaishnava not etiquette, Vaishnava regulations. So he described that this is the first and most essential step, is to accept the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. As Prabhupada is describing, all the bona fide spiritual masters, they don't have any difference of conclusion. Even amongst the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, they all agree that the living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna, even after liberation. So sometimes... But the difference, even, I guess, for devotees in ISKCON, of course, everyone's teaching, Prabhupada's teachings. And so you may wonder if there's no difference of conclusions in our own sampradaya and in other sampradayas, then does that mean our spiritual masters are all one, that it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter who we take shelter of as a spiritual master. But actually we're a personal philosophy. So, of course, whenever we have teachers and spiritual leaders come to explain Bhagavatam and explain Prabhupada's teachings, then... They're you know, essentially saying similar things, but it's the our own attraction for that person, and the mood of that person, and how they explain it, how they relate to us, how we relate to them. So all these things have to be considered when someone's choosing a spiritual master. Needs to be, because if we don't have a nice feeling that we want to surrender to this person, and a feeling of friendship, and then it will be harder for us to surrender to Krishna. But if we're, have a very submissive attitude to the spiritual master, and we like their presentation of Krishna consciousness, then it's easier for us to surrender to Krishna. And so that will be for our benefit. And Prabhupada's describing that when a person just speculates and thinks they can approach the absolute truth by their own intelligence, then that's a symptom of pride. And the devotee who is understanding themselves just to be a servant of Krishna, then that's a symptom of humility. And then to that, Prabhupada is describing that to that devotee who is always engaged in service, then the Lord reveals himself, favours his devotee with proper intelligence. So that verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, verse 10, Tesham sadasa yuktanam pajatam pritipurvakam tatami puri yogam tam yenimam upyantite. So in our service, we always encourage devotees to do some service, as Gangesha was describing last week, that just any service, a devotee is happy to do any small service out of their love for the spiritual master. They just want to serve in any way. So not only do we encourage devotees to do some service for the temple or for the spiritual master, but to develop a mood of pritipurvakam, or loving attitude in that service. So just out of love, then we, even though the service might be difficult, then just out of our attraction for serving Krishna, then we'll willingly accept those difficulties and keep serving. So if we just come up against some obstacles and kind of abandon our service, then that's not showing our love for Krishna. Of course, Krishna won't give us a test, he'll gradually raise the bar as we do our service, just like going through school. And then the examinations are scaled to the level of the student. So the year 8 student will have one level of examination, and then of course that would be easy for a person in year 10 if they've already done that kind of test. And then then it doesn't just become smooth sailing after 5 or 10 years of devotional service. I know Krishna increases the test to our level of service, so that he's always bringing out this surrender in us, and taking us to the next level of sacrifice and service. and all the way he's ready to give us his intelligence on how to meet these new challenges. If we're engaged in a favorable attitude trying to please him, then he just and if we're surrendered to him, that we feel ourselves incapable of doing some service, but still we want to try, then Krishna will give us the required intelligence. And even if it doesn't turn out exactly the way we're hoping, then at least we still do it, and then Krishna is pleased with that. So this is the how Krishna, Shukadev Goswami ends his, in this verse, says, "May the Lord be pleased with me." So the mental speculators, they don't have any such desire to please the Lord. They want to be the Lord, become one with the Lord. Because, as Prabhupada describes, they're so frustrated with material, trying to enjoy the material world, that they just get fed up with it. And they think if they can become God, then they'll be a big enjoyer. There'll be no limit to their enjoyment if they can become God. But that's not the mood of the Vaishnava, the devotee. They don't want their own pleasure, they want the Lord's pleasure. Prabhupada says here, rather, the devotee prays to the Lord only, invoking his transcendental pleasure. That is the way of knowing the Lord. But it's not like if we just think of the Lord's pleasure that we won't feel pleasure as well. Prabhupada tells the story of the meeting between the Indriya, they say. They get together and the senses, they have a meeting and say, "Oh, this is nonsense that we're working so hard. Look at Uddhara. What's he doing? Nothing." So they, at that meeting, they decide to strike. Say, "We won't work." And let Uddhara do some work. Her belly. So they do that and they go on strike and they don't work. And then they get very weak and they again have another meeting. They're wondering, "What's happening? We went on strike and now we're feeling very weak." And so then they realize that, "Oh, actually, if we serve the stomach and we feed the stomach, then we will also be nourished and we will be strong and satisfied." So Prabhupada tells this story to explain how when we're serving Krishna, then automatically we also feel pleasure and happiness. And the more that service is untainted and just with a pure motive to serve the Lord and less thinking of our own pleasure, then the more we'll experience that of feeling transcendental pleasure ourselves through the medium of pleasing Krishna. but not independently of Krishna. The devotee has a very humble attitude, seeing themselves as very tiny and insignificant, and just humbly desiring to please the Lord. But practically all other paths of spiritual realization have an opposite conception of trying to please the individual. The yogis want mystic powers, the karmis, of course, want unlimited material enjoyment. But the devotee doesn't want anything. So desire for personal enjoyment creates anxiety in us. So that's why it said that only the devotee is peaceful, because they don't have any desire for personal enjoyment, and they only desire to please the Lord. And then whatever anxieties arise in the course of trying to please the Lord in that service, then that's not material anxiety, it's spiritual anxiety. And so it doesn't disturb the devotee, but it's actually a feature of their transcendental enjoyment that they derive from serving the Lord. Just like, of course, the classic example is Mother Yashoda. She's always in anxiety about Krishna, wondering where he is and if he's fed. And when Krishna broke the butter pots, she wasn't angry because it was her butter and, you know, now she had to churn so much more, but because that butter was for Krishna, and to feed Krishna, make him fatty and healthy. So when he broke the butter, her anxiety was for him, that he wouldn't be able to have the butter and become strong. That anxiety wasn't for herself. And so to follow in the footsteps of the authorities, we have to learn the process. Of course, we know we have to always chant Hare Krishna. And in the association of devotees, we learn more about the process of devotional service, how to be more selfless, how to be more humble. We see in the example of other devotees and our own spiritual master. So we're learning all the time how to do devotional service. Of course, it's described in Prabhupada's books, and so that's, again, that's important to learning how to do devotional service by seeing the example of in the devotees in the Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's explanations, and learning, being in the association of the community of devotees, how to please Krishna, basically. And then and it's pleasing to Krishna to always think of him. And of course, the Yuga Dham for this age is the chanting of the holy name. So, Kirtan is such a nice way to remember the Lord. Generally, if we're, you know, throughout the day, if we're trying to think of Krishna, we may not chant in a japa type style, but we'll think of the most recent Kirtan that we heard. Or it's kind of infectious, that I know if. For getting ready in the morning in the bathroom and someone sings a tune, and then so you start singing that tune, and then so that tune stays in your head for some time, and then you're in the kitchen and there's some kirtan going on, and so then when you're off somewhere else, that's the kirtan that you're remembering. So this process of kirtan is so pleasing for ourselves and pleasing to Krishna also. So this is a nice way for us to remember Krishna, just through kirtan. And we all love it when a very expert kirtan devotee comes to the temple, Madhava or So, if we can be absorbed in kirtan and hearing lectures, and this is how you can always remember the Lord and please Him. I'll just stop there, see if anyone has any comments or questions. I just got asked to give class after Kirtan this morning, so not much preparation. Yes, Gaurav.
When I assume is if I don't think about the Lord, it will be a mental image from my own body. It's not really the feet of the Lord. Meditating on a mental object. So where does it comprise of meditating on the lotus feet of God?
I guess that can be a difficult one, like by thinking of his lotus feet every second. Prabhupada also says the devotee, they don't even want to see the lotus face of the Lord. They're just absorbed in thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. So when we're chanting the holy names, then that includes the in the holy name is the name, the form, qualities and the pastimes of the Lord. So if we're always chanting the holy names, then we are thinking of Krishna's lotus feet. You know, the lotus feet, if we're approaching someone's lotus, or anyone's feet, then we're putting ourselves in a position of service and humility, that we're just a servant of the Lord. So remembering the Lord's lotus feet, we're always thinking ourselves a servant of Krishna. I guess practical, that actually if we think of specifically the lotus feet of Krishna, then we're in a mood of service, then that's how the devotee always thinks of themselves, as a servant of Krishna. And so they're connected, being a servant and thinking of the lotus feet. Not trying for anything more than that, only to be a servant, so not going higher than that. It's just staying at the feet of Krishna. Time out. Okay, time for prasad. Grandhraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitya Gaura Brahmananda. I always think about that too. Something. Needs some more realization of that.
Humble and serve. Natural answer. Practical and natural. Thank you.
That's okay.